DJW Mobile.
DJW, this is KK4SAC. Do you copy?
KK4SAC, W4DJW. I do copy. Is that Paul?
It is Paul. How are you doing?
Hey, Paul. I'm doing good. Just dropped the dog off at the groomers this morning. After about 3 months, you got to do that kind of thing.
I know. We don't let ours go over a month because we can't stand him. He does have the odor of dog. Over.
Okay, she's one that doesn't. She's a little thing. She doesn't. She's a party working. And I wash her in between. But when it gets so long, that she can't see where she's going anymore, it's time to take her to the groomers.
Roger, roger. Well, anything new going on? How you doing? Over.
Just staying at home as much as is possible. Not really, nothing exciting there. Staying at home, watching the news every now and then, but getting to where it's kind of difficult to watch the news. How about you? What have you guys been doing?
Well, not too much. Drove up to Illinois, to Chicago, picked up my sister, brought her back. So now we're visiting with my sister, and the evenings are consumed with consuming wine and playing cards.
So weren't you sailing on the high seas there for a while?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did. We did. We were down in Marathon for, I think it's 4 or 5 years. Or 4 years. 4 years. And brought the boat back up to Charleston. Over.
That was a lot of fun. Good memories on that. Dangerous encounters or anything like that? You had clear sailing all the way?
Pretty much. Remember, we have a power boat, so the only problem I had is the price of fuel was astronomical at that time. It was ridiculous, actually.
Since then?
I'm sorry, I didn't copy.
Yeah, I might be in a bad spot. I'm just going over a big set of power lines. It might get better now. Has it come down since then?
No, we use diesel, and we get 8/10 of a mile to the gallon.
Oh, wow. that's a lot of liquid you're going through there.
You got it. You got it. I did a little better coming back up because we didn't go fast. I got it up to 1 mile to the gallon.
On a boat to move, and moving it through the water isn't quite as easy as rolling something across the road, huh?
No, no, there is a lot of resistance with that water. And, the boat's now in Charleston again, and we're just not doing much. The COVID thing has pretty much shut us down in Charleston. You can turn that off. Anyway, the COVID thing's pretty much shut everything down in Charleston, so we don't go to Charleston anymore. By the way, my son finally retired that trainer that you recommended. Over.
Oh, wow. And moved on to other things?
No, I bought him a cub trainer, a huge cub trainer. Or not a trainer, but a huge cub aerobatic airplane. Over.
Okay, one of the JC, J3 cubs, or with the yellow pattern, or the one with the blue and the white pattern?
The yellow pattern with the huge tires and the optional floats. Over.
Those are a lot of fun. I've still got one of those left. It's got some dents and dings in it, but it's fun to do one wheel touch and goes with, when you're coming in sideways with your rudder and your ailerons, and you touch down on one wheel, then you can lift it up and rotate it over and touch down on another wheel and then power up and take off. Those are a lot of fun.
Yeah, he sent me pictures. He is absolutely awesome at flying this thing. He does things that I didn't think you could do with a model. He does the, rotate 90 degrees, and then hold it and let it just fly sideways by the, when it's got close to the ground, but right in front of you. Over.
Using a flight controller or not, but there's a lot of them that have that so that it'll hold it there for you. It flies like a helicopter. Like it's hanging on the prop right out there in front of you. Some people are so good at it, they can just reach out and pick them out of the air with their hand while it's flying. Never touch the ground. Right? Hold it vertical, power it up, and just fly it out of their hand. And then when they're done, come back vertical and grab it with their hand and never touch the ground for the whole flight.
Yeah, I've seen that. No, he doesn't use any of the. He doesn't have the safe mode or the thing on his flight controller or his thing. Everything is manual. He does it all by himself. Over.
Well, that is really good. It takes a lot to be able to do that. A whole lot. I know a lot of people that can do that. I used to be able to get close to it, but couldn't do it now to save my life.
Yeah, you said you had some eye problems. Over.
Not as good as they used to be when you make really long. So one of the things we used to like to do, and I flew smaller airplanes, not the bigger ones. I did have a few of the bigger ones, but I liked the smaller, faster, easier to flip around in the airplane. So one of the things we used to do, learn from the guys in Raleigh, North Carolina, is go out really far and really low to the ground. Maybe about 600 yards out, and start a knife edge. All right, come down really low, start a knife edge, and then fly on the edge of the wing for all the way down the runway. Right, and the rudder's like almost touching, or the elevator's almost touching the ground as you go past, and you're going full throttle. It takes some really good eyes to do that, and my eyes aren't that good anymore.
My brain and coordination aren't that good anymore. I could never do it. Stand by one. Oh, yeah. He wants that E-10 or whatever it is, that Warhawk turbofan plane for Christmas. I don't think he's going to get it, but if I get him anything, I may get him the Blue Angel jet. Over.
I've only had one of those ever. It wasn't a dual turbofan. It was a single. But it is a lot of fun, but it did take a little while to get it off the ground. It took some room to get it off the ground, but once you got it going, it flew really nice. One of the things I used to like to do, my son and I, we had a pair of Delta Wing pusher planes. The engine was mounted mid-wing, and it was turned around backwards, and the prop blade went through the wing, and it had tricycle landing gear, right, so a wheel on each side of where the engine came through the wing, the prop, and then one nose wheel, and we used to fly those full throttle around Lake Robinson. Before Blue Ridge Flying Club went down to below Weir Shoals. And we'd come full throttle across the runway, side by side, and both of us touched the runway at the same time, you know, going well over 100 miles an hour, touch the runway and come back up and take off in a pattern and fly back around and do it again. That was a blast. When you're doing that with somebody else, you got to be really careful. You don't touch each other going that fast.
Yeah, this Blue Angels jet, it's pretty big, and it does, they say they've clocked it at 95 miles an hour.
It takes a lot, it's more than you think. It takes a lot more than you think to be able to get an airplane, even with a 4-foot wingspan, up to 100 miles an hour. It takes a whole lot of energy to make that. Because like you said, with the water, the drag on the boat, there's a lot of drag on a wing as well, a whole lot of drag. Especially the faster you go, the more drag you get.
Yeah, what's amazing to me, well, it's not amazing, is that they're making these batteries so powerful and so small now that they can do that with these turbofans. And you only get at, you know, at the top, or not at top speed, I think you get 5 or 6 minutes of flight time.
Yeah, it kind of came, it just kind of blew in there really fast. I mean, relatively speaking, it was battery, it was nitro one day. Everybody's flying nitro. Then, like, less than 2 years later, a lot of people, majority of the people, when the lipos really came in strong, were just switched over. The nitro was good. It sounded good. It smelled good. But, man, it made a mess to clean up at the end of the day on your plane, especially if you flew at a grass runway. But even asphalt still got stuck in the castor oil goo that was left on the side of the plane and then got absorbed into the balsa wood, and it made it heavier over time. And the electric is just so, so much better. And like you said, the technology just kept getting better and better and better. But that is the thing, is how long can you make it last? You can get the speed out of it that you can with nitro, but not for as long a period of time. Like, some of the guys like to do really long distance flights out and back. And you can do that with, like, gasoline engines, but you can't do it with batteries. They just won't go that long. W4DJW.
This is KK4SAC for ID. Yeah, but what I like is on his little controller, it tells him how much battery he's got left. And I think that it tells him you've got to reduce power and you can come back.
A lot of them, with their telemetry, they do that. They like transmit telemetry. And you have a separate receive on your radio that can receive that telemetry. And with a lot of them that you fly with goggles for long distance, they'll put that on the screen. So you can see it on the screen, how much is remaining. And even the really good ones, you have a button you can press for return to home. If you get lost and you don't know how to get back home, it'll fly it back home for you. Even the fixed wings. Multi-rotors more than fixed wings, but even the fixed wings have that now.
Yeah, but you got to pay extra for that, and I don't think he's willing to pay extra for that. But, I don't know what he's going to get for Christmas. I told him, I said, it's not my decision. You got to send videos to my wife, and she will make the decision what you get. If you do good at it, you might get one. So, but, because she loves to watch him fly that thing. It is amazing. They live up in Seattle. He was thinking about joining the Seattle club because they fly out of Boeing Field. And the dues is so astronomical. I think they want $1,100 a year there.
The dues around here are like 120 or something like that a year, but there's a whole lot of clubs, so I'm a member of a couple of different clubs, and I keep that membership going just in case one of them runs into problems. I got another place to fly. The FAA is making it really difficult now. They're making it so that you have to have a remote ID on it that sends out your ID. It broadcasts your ID electronically over the air. A lot of airplanes don't have that, and to get that on them, it's going to cost quite a bit. So FAA just keeps making it harder and harder for the hobbyists.
Is that if you fly near the airport or anywhere?
They're making it nowadays to where you fly anywhere, and they want it to be able to reach the internet so that they can see when you're flying all the time. And for those people that are out west where there is no internet, they're kind of in a bind. They've got to come up with a way to either get internet at the airfield that they're at, which most of them don't have that, or don't fly. That's it. And it's got to be a designated flying field by an organization that's recognized by the FAA. And there's only one of those right now. That's the Model Aviation, AMA, Academy of Model Aviation, is the only one that's recognized by them at the moment. So they're really making it tough.
Yeah, that would be tough. I don't think my son's abiding by that rule because they just go to a park, a big park up in Seattle, and everybody seems to go there.
Well, it's kind of like with us. It's not like they're out hunting, actively hunting for people that are doing things wrong. But what will happen is if anything happens, like, it, for example, if it was to lose control and fly into a car, all right, and hit somebody or hurt somebody, then they exercise those rules, right? That's when they'll step in and say, let me see your license. Let me see your remote ID. And for everything that you're breaking the law on, that's where they nail you.
Oh, I got it. Yep. Yeah, he normally just uses it and crashes into the ground. Well, I shouldn't say that. Good Lord, I can't... I'm trying to remember how long he had that one trainer, that big trainer, electric trainer that you recommended. And he went through one radio and a whole bunch of batteries. The receiver went bad.
Yeah, after a while, especially when you crash them. Sometimes they happen on the first crash. Sometimes they'll live through several crashes before something goes wrong with them. But that's the price you pay for learning. That, you know what? That's what everybody at the airfield will tell you over and over again. Somebody new is, what goes up will come down. One way or another, it's coming down. It might be a controlled crash. It might be an uncontrolled crash, but it's coming down.
Yeah, they were out there, watched another guy fly one of those E-10 Warhawks, and he had it once, flew it once, crashed it, and took it out there. The second flight was screaming with it, went straight up in the air, and it just turned around and went straight down at full throttle. And my son said there was absolutely nothing left of it.
Two of them like that over the years. A few of them also that crashed on the maiden flight, especially when you get into experimenting. That happens more than not, but that does happen. I had a few really close calls, too. I used to train people a lot. And one guy put his together, and I did the inspection, and I didn't catch that he used fully threaded rods on the aileron servo for the servo going to the horn, and there were no lock nuts on it. And when you're just looking at it, you just see that it's connected and say, okay, that's okay. It didn't hit me that as the engine's running, those fully threaded rods will start rotating. And they just, right after the flight, he says, I've got no ailerons. And it was going away from us. So I took the controller and I wiggled the ailerons, and sure enough, there was nothing. And just kicked the rudder over to the side and had rudder, brought it back, landed it, took the wing off, looked at the aileron servo, and the rods were just, they just unscrewed themselves all the way out to where they weren't connected to that. So there's tons of things like that can go wrong.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. He loves it out there. I don't know why. It's kind of crappy out there in Seattle as far as weather. Excuse me. But he loves to fly them, loves to play with them. I think I told you the last time we were talking, we went up to Connecticut with the camper, and my grandson up there, I bought him some model rockets, and he just loved it. He couldn't believe how high they went. Over.
W4DJW. Well, that's good, Paul. I'm in the drive. Well, not in the driveway. I'm in the neighborhood, about to turn on our road. So this will probably be my last one. But I had a friend that grew up around here when I did, back in the 70s, and his father was Bill Hudson of Love and Hudson on the radio. I don't know if you remember back, or if you were around here back in those days, but he grew up here when I did. We both worked at Michelin together. He moved to Seattle shortly after graduation, or after working some time. He took off and went up to Seattle. He'd been there the whole time. And within the last 3 years, he moved back here from Seattle. So maybe eventually he'll return back one day, Paul. Tommy did, Tommy Hudson, who's Bill Hudson's son. Anyway, I'm going to back in the driveway. Good talking to you this morning. Stay safe. KK4SAC, W4DJW.
W4DJW, KK4SAC. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it very, very much. I will catch you later. This is KK4SAC, clear.